T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ben Golliver from the Washington Post joins us right now. Ben, if I'm not mistaken, you are one of, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but one of 10 covering from the media that will be allowed in the bubble. And we've heard about what the manual is for the players. What is it for the media, and what are you doing to prepare to head down to Orlando and cover this thing?
Yeah, they got 10 writers, independent writers, not affiliated with, the broadcast partners. So, yeah, that's, one caveat. There'll probably be additional media members, with Turner and with ESPN, of course. But, look, it's an extensive process, man. It was like applying to college all over again, frankly. I mean, you got to go through health screenings. You got to, obviously, it's a significant amount of money to be staying in a hotel down there for 3 months. So that's part of it as well. And, ultimately, it's a really exciting time. I think that I'll be flying out there tomorrow, entering the bubble on Sunday. What they tell you basically is you get coronavirus tested right off the bat, and you're going to be tested basically daily after that, throughout the entire time period. And then the first week, you're actually spending inside your hotel room in a quarantine. So, they don't want you even leaving the room for any reason. They bring your meals right to your door. You have no contact with anyone else. So before you can even get released to the bubble to watch scrimmages or to go to games or to interview players, to kind of do any of the normal parts of your day-to-day job as a writer, you first have to, kind of get clean and prove it, basically, is how it goes.
Ben, is it worth it from your perspective? Leaving, I'm not sure if you have a family or whatever, but, I mean, to leave for that long, and I guess it's your job, but I'm saying, you think is it worth it for you?
No, it's a question I've asked a lot. I live in LA. It's a pretty nice place to live. I've had a very simple life. I've been able to work from home. I've had very limited social contact, so my risk to the virus has been very, very low. Adam Silver uses that line. It's safer in the bubble rather than outside the bubble. I think that's true for NBA players where, they're going to play like pickup games and exposing themselves to risk. I think we saw about 5% of the players test positive, the last couple of weeks here when they did their testing. I think I'm at a very lower risk than a lot of people just because I've had a simple life, like I said, during this quarantine period. I'm very thankful for that. So I view going down there as definitely actually increasing my risk to the virus, and that's very scary, and that's weighing on my mind. I've talked to a bunch of doctors, people who I see on a normal basis, other experts within the NBA to kind of, form my decision. I mean, ultimately, to me, I love the sport. My whole life revolves around basketball. I've been writing about it for 13 or 14 years. It's very hard as a reporter to turn away the idea that that's sort of where the action is. You kind of want to be in the eye of the storm. And so for me, ultimately, it was worth it. Now, if I get down there, I don't feel safe. I have the freedom to leave, and, I would certainly consider doing that. But ultimately, I think the NBA put a lot of time, thought, and care into their protocols. I think I'll be able to control my life pretty easily down there, spending a lot of time in isolation in the hotel room, watching games, socially distanced and wearing masks from anybody else. We'll see how great the access is. I think that's the biggest question most of the writers have, is are you even going to really be able to interact with the players? And it sounds like there's a lot of rules on that. But for me personally, I'm interested to see how it goes. And so, I'm pretty excited, a little bit nervous, but certainly excited.
Do you have to eat those crappy meals they're giving the players too, or do you have some better options?
Well, it's everybody's number one question right now. I mean, we all saw the pictures that came out. I mean, that chicken breast that wasn't cooked. Didn't that just look like pure food poisoning, like right off the top?
Oh my God!
And I'm not a picky eater. I'll say that. I mean, I'm pretty a low maintenance guy. I certainly don't live as well as NBA players do. But I was looking at that picture saying, "Oh boy, what did I sign up for?" But from what I've heard, the people who are already down there, the media members and NBA staffers, they've said that the food has been quality. It sounds like they don't really do customized meals. So, like, if you're a vegetarian or whatever, they don't really fix it for you. They just kind of, you know, for the media, they just bring you a lot and you kind of pick and choose what you want. So, you know, that's certainly better and safer than trying to go to a buffet and have everybody breathing all over your dinner. So, you know, I'm trying to take it back to, like, freshman year of college or, you know, high school when, you know, all that really mattered. If you get some peanut butter, you're happy. That's kind of my mentality right now.
Ben Gulliver from the Washington Post is our guest on the hotline. Ben, when we look at this in terms of, you know, the teams going down, and yeah, I guess you could say because you have 22 teams and you know, it is wide open. But essentially, when you factor in just, you know, the talent level along with what's going on here, along with guys having to, you know, stop and then start up again, and then also just what's everybody's give-a-damn level, how many teams realistically in your mind have a legitimate chance to win this championship?
Well, you know, to me, there was three teams that were better than everybody else all season long. That was Milwaukee and the two LA teams. Now, if some other team sneaks up because they take advantage of these circumstances and, you know, a guy like James Harden, who's used to playing just kind of five-on-five, pick-up basketball, winds up looking like an absolute monster down there just because the format's different and, you know, there's no crowd and everything else. Like, I could see something like that happening. But if we're just saying on paper who are the best teams, to me, those are the top three teams. But there's a lot of question marks and variables. You know, you mentioned how they brought 22 teams. I think my biggest concern about this entire process is the idea that we're not going to get really good, like, second-round matchups until September, pretty much. You know, you're going to have, you know, a couple weeks of the opening regular season games, and you're going to get into mid-August for the first round of the playoffs. So that's a lot of time for something to go wrong. You know, that's like 5 or 6 weeks of the guys being down there. Somebody could test positive. There could be an outbreak. I mean, who knows? Everything's on the table. And so I guess my biggest concern is, did they bring too many teams? Is this bubble too big? Are we going to be able to get to a situation where we can really see the teams that we want to see, you know, Houston play L.A., L.A. play L.A., you know, Milwaukee play Boston? I mean, those kinds of matchups that everybody's looking forward to in a series, are we going to be able to get there safely? I think that's my biggest question for all of it.
You know, when you look at a team like LeBron on the Lakers, of course, do you think he'll play much in those first eight games at all, or is it just kind of going to be like a little ramp up for some of the other teams? I can't imagine he'd want to play him too many minutes in those games.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the favorites, you don't have a ton of motivation here because, I mean, Milwaukee and the Lakers have almost sealed that number one seed. I mean, it's pretty darn close, right? So I think the main goal will be incorporating your new teammates. You know, I know you guys probably saw J.R. Smith, former Cav legend, is going to be down there with LeBron. So that one should be pretty quick. But, you know, that's a mid-season pickup. Deion Waiters is a mid-season pickup. Markieff Morris is a mid-season pickup. I mean, they had some, you know, changes, and they don't have Avery Bradley. So if you're the Lakers, you want to spend some time during training camp and, you know, the first couple of weeks of that regular season just getting your rotation right, you know, and then figuring out, you know, which players complement each other. But past that, yeah, I think you're trying to avoid injury. You're trying to get it in and out as quickly as possible, and you're saving yourself for the playoff push.
Ben, obviously nobody in their right mind, and certainly around here, would ever want to bet against LeBron James. But, I mean, with this stop and the restart and the fact that, you know, again, he is a freak, but he is 35 years of age. If you're looking at younger teams, like Dave McMenamin said this on our airwaves the other day in regards to, you know, if you have a couple of 25-year-old, you know, really good players versus that stud 35-year-old, might that team have the advantage? I mean, let's say like somebody like Toronto, who obviously is very well coached. Obviously, they don't have Kawhi anymore, but there's a lot of people talking about the Raptors. What do you make of kind of, you know, what the best formula might be as far as ramping it back up and getting ready to go again?
Well, I know you guys remember LeBron took that 2 weeks in South Beach that one season to kind of get himself rested and get his back right before the playoffs. Remember that? And he kind of came back with a vengeance. I mean, I think if you have these ultimate talented guys like LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis who carry a huge burden during the regular season, now you give them all this time to kind of rest and recuperate their body and also still train. I mean, this is assuming that they have access to the training. I actually think that these guys are going to be in a position to really sprint hard, you know, through this event because they're not, you know, bringing the baggage of 6 months of heavy minutes and games into this thing. So I think there's a real argument that, you know, the talent could, you know, be in great shape. You look at guys like Jokic, James Harden have both lost a ton of weight during the restart. I think that could really help them because they'll just be going in fresher. Now, your point on the Raptors or just, you know, teams that are hungrier, I think it's an important one too. To me, this entire thing comes down to chemistry. We've heard a lot of coaches talk about mental toughness, who can bring it together. You know, I like a team like the Clippers and the Raptors for that same reason, because I think the basketball is going to be pretty ugly. Can you defend at a high level? I think that's going to be a winning formula. And then, you know, do your guys, you know, fit together from a personality standpoint? And are they willing to look back the crappy food that you guys described, or, you know, the pain of living in a hotel? Can they look past that stuff and just focus on basketball? And I think with Toronto, they had great chemistry, obviously, through the playoffs last year. And they brought it back this year, even though they lost Kawhi. And then with the Clippers, they were starting to really build that chemistry down the stretch of the season. And that's just a low-maintenance group. It's just a bunch of guys who love to play basketball. There's Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell. You know, the list goes on. So I look at those two teams certainly as teams to watch. But my preseason pick was Clippers over Bucks, by the way, and I'm sticking to that. I think both those teams can defend at a really, really high level. They both have, you know, high-quality playmakers leading their offense. And so for me, I don't see any reason to adjust yet. Now, that could change in 2 weeks once we see if everybody's in shape. And that's the big X factor. You know, there's probably going to be some guys who weren't doing a lot of work the last couple of months just thinking they were going to cancel everything. We saw that in some of the lockout years. So that's another situation where if you're an older guy and you thought they were just going to cancel it, that could really come back to bite you.
What about the eight other teams that were left out? I know you've wrote about this or talked about this, I know, maybe on a recent podcast. Cavaliers, one of our team here in Cleveland. Is there some sort of plan to try and get those guys some sort of training during this period or no?
Well, first of all, I like their message from Kobe Altman, just saying, like, we wanted to be down there. We wanted to play. You know, we wanted our guys to have the opportunity to come together and compete. Like, if you have a young organization like that where all your main future pieces are, you know, basically 23 and under, that's the kind of message you want to send from an organization. So, number one, I like that. Number two, it's a major competitive disadvantage. If they go from March until December with no team activities whatsoever and all these other teams are down in Orlando getting to spend time and hang out with each other, so there's a lot of motivation from those teams, not just Cleveland, but the other eight, you know, trying to get something going. To me, you have to weigh the risk of and the reward. I know there was that proposal about, hey, can they come together in Chicago, you know, play a tournament in a bubble? I mean, I think that's really tricky. I would not be in favor of that personally. You know, you're in a situation where you have to test all these guys, kind of take them out of their normal daily environments. You have to hope they don't get each other sick. And you're doing it with no real payoff for television benefit. And you're doing it with, you know, without really any stars, because I don't think any veteran players would want to go down there just to get those reps, right? So to me, the smartest thing would be to find a way to allow the teams to completely reopen their facilities for group workouts and scrimmages. If you could find a way to do that safely, then you could have the Cavs come in maybe for a month in September. Everybody could work out together. You know, your coaches would be able to take a look at the players, make sure they're on the weight or the right, you know, weight training programs, all that kind of stuff. I think that would really benefit the teams that are sitting at home and give them something better than nothing. But, you know, to me, the idea of the second bubble, it just shouldn't happen, you know, and there's some real back and forth between those teams about, you know, is this a realistic possibility or not? If I was the NBA, I would say the main message needs to be keep your eye on the ball, keep those players in Orlando safe, you know, kind of devote all of your attention to that, because you got more than 1,000 people down there total. And there's a real risk factor, and Florida's going crazy right now with the coronavirus, and you want to keep all these people safe. You want to bring everybody home. That should be the main goal.
Ben, we really appreciate your time today. Obviously, be safe. Goes without saying. Maybe bring a meat thermometer with you or whatever. make sure you're going to be okay. But keep up the good work, and hope to talk to you soon, pal. Thank you.
All right, man. I appreciate you guys. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.